This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Literacy is a vital tool for people of all ages, so any way to get kids or adults interested in reading is important, even if it's a comic book. Tomorrow is Free Comic Book Day, and a little later in the show, we'll talk with educators, literacy advocates, and a comic book shop owner about how comics can bring a family together for learning. But first, on this day in 1921, May the 5th, or 5-5, Chanel No. 5 was introduced to the world. It was created by a French-Russian chemist, and its scent revolutionized the perfume world by deviating from the single floral note style, which had been the style up to that point. Now, almost 100 years later, chemical fragrances of varying degrees of quality and pungency have infiltrated our daily lives. Aside from the intentional wearing of perfume, laundry detergents make our clothes smell, shampoo scents our hair, and the very air we breathe is scented by candles, diffusers, and passersby. Some may find them pleasant, but for others, it's an assault on the sinus, triggering headaches, allergic reaction, and even asthma attacks. Here to tell us more about the impact of odor is ear, nose, and throat specialist Dr. Patrick Reedy from Gulf Coast Ear, Nose, and Throat. Dr. Reedy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Does perfume make your head hurt? Do you find wildfire smokiness in the air just unbearable? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So the first question I want to ask you, Dr. Reedy, is why does perfume cause distress in some people?
Some people are very sensitive to smells. The problem may or may not be related to allergies or an actual inflammatory condition such as allergies, and the problem may be much more neurologic in origin, which it is going to be the vast majority of people who find themselves sensitive to smells, chemicals, be it perfumes, cleaning chemicals, or other substances they might work with, have hobbies that they're involved with.
So what physically happens when someone's having a reaction to an inhaled chemical?
So the first thing to picture is that all chemicals and things we smell, be it good cherry pie or a bad chemical, there's essentially a chemical contained in a little vesicle. Imagine it floating around in a bubble, the chemical. As we inhale air, those particles are inhaled with the air. The nose is designed that most air we breathe heads straight back, but some of that air is deflected up towards the upper part of the nose. That's where the smell fibers are. These little vesicles push up to the top of the nose, they rupture open, the chemicals release, and the nerves pick up that smell. Of course, lots of research goes into make sure that that's going to be then a pleasant experience. And if unpleasant, usually a warning is given, but it doesn't work that great for everybody. Once it's picked up by the nerves, it's now up to the brain's interpretation as to how pleasant or unpleasant or even uncomfortable that smell is then going to be to the individual.
And you talked about pleasant and unpleasant. I know some people don't like certain tastes and then other people do. Is the nose as different as people's like taste?
Sure. So the taste and smell go together. They work very similarly in their neurologic connections. You can have problems with both. You can have problems with one or the other. You can have a distinct lack of taste and smell completely intact and vice versa. The experience somebody has is then totally different, not unlike eating. Some people like a certain food. Some people don't. There's various experiences that set in. So it's not just the neurological impulse itself, but your experiences that factor into how you might then interpret those impulses.
Yeah. Is there a difference between an allergy and a chemical intolerance?
Yes. And the difference with this topic is significant. The allergy refers to a very specific process that occurs. An allergen is a specific element that gets into our body. Once in there, your body makes a specific antibody to that allergen. That has to occur. It's like a lock and key mechanism. That antibody has to find the allergen, connect with it, and that sets off a chemical reaction that causes all of these symptoms. A sensitivity is one where we, at least to this point, cannot prove such a pathway exists. So it becomes a much more abstract concept, a sensitivity, as to why somebody doesn't tolerate that. Sometimes it is in the allergy pathway and sometimes it is not. The person is not allergic. They're just simply sensitive. It's much more of a neurologic problem than an inflammatory one, which is what allergy is.
And neurological things are just harder to understand.
Correct. At this point, it then gets pushed into the brain, which remains, you know, despite lots of research,
uncharted territory.
Yes. Correct.
So what are the symptoms of an allergic reaction to a scent or a chemical?
So the allergic reaction is once that allergen is in the bloodstream, meets the antibody that you have made to it, it sets off the release of mainly a chemical histamine. The histamine then causes a chain reaction of opening other cells that contain the histamine. So you get a massive histamine release. There's then a series of other chemicals that are released once the histamine goes that causes your blood vessels to swell and dilate. It makes the blood vessels leaky, so fluid starts to leave the blood vessels, enter your tissue, causing swelling. Mucosal surfaces, so the area inside your eyes, your nose, your mouth are going to be more affected than the skin outside, but anybody who has bad rash or eczema will then understand the effect allergy can have there.
So those are going to be the allergic reactions, but if somebody's having a chemical sensitivity type reaction, is that where we get into like headaches?
Yes,
nausea,
so,
correct. Things like
that? So now you're talking that the – if we're talking a smell, let's say the chemical has entered the nose, gone up, stimulates the nerve. Now for most people, we might all have a general reaction. We smell alcohol. It's a little off-putting but not horrible. Some people it's nauseating and could induce a sudden vomiting reaction. It can be that. And that's more neurologic. So now the smell gets passed to the nerve. The nerve starts moving it to various centers in the brain, the olfactory portions of the brain. Now, all of these sensory portions are then linked to essentially our limbic system, our emotional system, and that's where it now gets very tricky, where both things we've experienced from our eyesight, so we might not like the way a food smells more because of the way it looked to us as much as the actual smell is, or vice versa. We can't stand the way a food tastes just because we can't stand the smell of it when it cooks. And this is when all of your senses now interact in that emotional system, and this is where everybody's sense starts to then differ. Everybody gets a different sense. I like oranges. Somebody doesn't.
Yeah. And then cilantro is a big one too. That one really is a divider.
Yeah. So any of the strong ones, but there are certain ones that really set, can set people off. Now, it gets a little more complex in that some chemicals are carried by other nerves. So predominantly the nerve for your smell leaves the brain directly. It is one of the cranial nerves. As it does so, it then stimulates the brain directly and again has a closer connection to the limbic or emotional system.
And then I'm wondering about the emotional system. Is there a possibility that sometimes sensitivities from scents can be part of a psychological process that started? For example, I don't like the smell of cigarette smoke because I associate it with somebody that I care about who got sick from that. So is there any of that that can then become a psychological thing that turns into a physiological reaction?
Absolutely. That's a huge component of it, and it has to be taken into consideration when we treat patients. Is there an underlying anxiety, depression, or emotional problem, or even just stress going on? Is that dramatically affects our all of our senses to some extent? It's because of the direct neurologic connection to the emotional system that all of our senses combine. That's why you might find in that case cigarette smoke repulsive, but somebody else who, let's say, is more of a social smoker relates it more to, hey, it's a night out at the bar. As I pick up that sense, might find it that it's quite enjoyable. The sense of the cigarette smoke is it's going to trigger a more joyful reaction in them.
Or I get to go play pool or whatever. Yeah.
Correct.
We have a call coming in from Victor in North Fort Myers. Victor, what's your comment?
I'll comment that this whole allergy maelstrom that we're going through right now with the smoke, all the different pollen that is in the air right now because of this weird incident. It affects a lot of people, including myself, to the point where you walk outside and you have an asthma attack or the severe itching starts. It got so bad for me that I actually had to seek medical.
Ooh, Victor, it sounds like we kind of lost you there. Your signal fell off, but you got to a question that I wanted to get to, and I wanted to ask about the smoke. I mean, everybody walking outside these days, I mean, depends on the day and the shift of the wind, is smelling wildfire smoke.
Correct.
Is that causing reactions in people that are allergic?
Yes, that's the last thing we sort of need this season. So first of all, I knew where Victor was going with this. This has been a horrible season. This will be my 12th year practicing allergies, ear, nose, and throat problems in Southwest Florida. This is the worst season by far.
This is very validating for people like me who
correct.
Cannot figure out why my eyes won't stop watering.
Correct. And you don't necessarily have to be allergic. So first of all, if you're allergic, the most common allergies of the pollens will be tree and grass. That's what's going on, the massive tree releases especially. If you're pollen, what you're looking for is very dry and very windy conditions. Your hope is to be spread as far out as possible.
So the pollens are winning.
Correct. As an allergic person, it's your worst nightmare. And we rely on the rains to clean the air out, which has been absent. So number one, no rain, very dry, pollens blowing everywhere. That's what then kicks off the actual allergic reaction in a lot of people, which is what Victor sounds like he's having. So even people who could say, once in a while, I might take a Claritin or an antihistamine is now saying, boy, it's like every day. And I've needed nasal sprays and other things as well. And that's been very common. Secondly, for non-allergic people, so the pollen gets in their body, that's not their problem. Pollen is a particulate matter. It is microscopic. It has to actually be within a certain size to even get within your body and cause an allergic reaction. Some pollens that you see are much bigger. They cannot make you allergic, but it's like a sandstorm. It's a microscopic one. If you had microscopic lenses, you simply would not go outside. Yeah. Because if it appeared to you as sand like that, there's just no way. Or you'd be wrapping your mouth up and more careful. This is microscopic. You can't see it, but it's still getting in your body. It's an irritant. It's no different than a dust cloud. And that's why non-allergic people this season would tell you that they feel like they have allergies for the first time in their lives.
So that's with pollen. But what about the smoke that we're getting
Correct.
From the wildfires?
Then on top of all that, thanks to the dryness, we've had the horrible fire problem. And this enters a whole new element where you're not only talking allergens within the fire and the debris that's being thrown out, including some trees that will pollinate worse during the fires, actually. So Melaleuca, some of the saw palmetto, their pollination occurs with the fire. And so that actually increases the allergen load. Next, you have simply the debris. And at best, that debris is just the smoke and the ash from trees and bushes. Once you start to talk houses, barns, trailers, you're now talking metals, chemicals, silicone, computers.
Yeah, that's
and it's you can't even calculate, the issue, for the people fighting it, the dangers and for all of us. So, yes, all of that ash is, in fact, getting into our noses, our lungs.
So when we're smelling fire, are we actually inhaling little tiny microscopic particulates of what has burned?
Yes. And as good evidence of that, I often at work leave my windows cracked a little bit if I think there's not going to be rain to some ventilation. The day of the fires down in Collier, I came out. You wouldn't have really noticed anything. I opened my car and it looked like I had burned a log in there. Just ash came flying out of my truck. And as you looked around in the air, you could not appreciate that. But sure, it's flying around and we're sucking it in.
And so that, when you're inhaling these kind of burnt things, those may or may not – well, the pollen from the burning, from the trees that pollinate. But that ash, is that going to be creating more of a chemical
– Yes. So now you're talking, again, some allergy but a lot more just sensitivity.
Just irritation and sensitivity.
Irritant, sensitivity. And that can throw a lot of you off. Now, if you're prone to be allergic, prone to be asthmatic, prone to have COPD – those types of problems, you could be in serious trouble and have to take any worsening of symptoms very seriously. So lots of asthma exacerbations, which is what Victor's alluding to in his phone call.
Yeah, he said that he had a problem with asthma. There's an ad campaign about an air freshener saying people can go nose blind. That means that they've been around a scent for such a prolonged period of time that they stop perceiving that. Does that happen? And does it also happen with these wildfires we're seeing? Like you kind of don't smell it anymore because it's so prevalent or
sure.
pervasive.
Anybody who's played racquetball can appreciate the phenomenon of being on a racquetball court. It's horrible when you go in, then you're fine. The worst thing you want to do is leave, get some water, and come back in. So with any kind of especially constant exposure, you will not notice it so much. And so after a while, you could in fact become completely oblivious to the smoke outside. Unless, say, you travel just a bit outside that range and then entered back into that area, it would seem striking to you again.
Or like when you're cooking at home and you don't notice
yes.
and you go walk the dog and come back in. You're like, wow, it smells great.
You have it exactly. Same concept there.
But does that ever create a danger when that happens where people become desensitized to an odor? Because odors are sometimes there to warn us.
So in that situation, probably not because they're mostly sensitized to that one specific odor.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps in a certain occupation, it could be different. If you're talking a complete loss of smell, be it from age or some pathologic process, now that's a totally different conversation. In fact, you have to spend time explaining to people the importance of your sense of taste and smell and your daily safety that we probably take for granted. So you do, in fact, have to then discuss smoke detectors, even adding extra smoke detectors, changing the batteries twice a year versus the just once a year.
Yeah.
Being very careful about things like that. Living by expiration dates, always asking people to check an expiration date if somebody is available. This stuff is very important.
Yeah. We are talking about the nose, which knows when things smell bad or good, with Dr. Patrick Reedy. He's an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Do you have a sensitivity to perfumes or other scents or even these wildfires? Give us a call with your thoughts and comments at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. I wanted to ask, and you mentioned it just in passing a little bit, do people lose their sense of smell as they age? And are there things that people do that can contribute to that?
Yes. Age would be one of the most common reasons to lose your sense of smell, sometimes gradually and sometimes suddenly, where we can contribute to nothing else. The most common reason to lose your sense of smell is an acute viral infection, your standard upper respiratory infection. All of a sudden you feel like you can't smell, and after that it may or may not come back and can be a complete and total loss. From that.
So how does that happen? You said that you have a virus and then it causes swelling that pushes on these nerves?
Yes, something that would cause a complete loss. The viral infection causes swelling of a nerve. A nerve is like looking at an electrical wire. You have the nerve cells themselves that carry electrical impulse wrapped within a sheath. The sheath allows the faster conductivity, just like an electrical wire. If the nerve inside the sheath starts to swell, it can only swell so much before the sheath pushes back the swelling. The swelling then collapses the nerve and, more importantly, the blood vessels that provide oxygen to that nerve. And as soon as that swelling occurs, the oxygen gets cut off. The nerve then starts to die. If the swelling can be stopped fast enough, so if somebody were to notice it very quickly present, it's treated typically with high-dose steroids, something to reduce rapidly inflammation, and you can restore the blood flow, restore the oxygen, the cells will, you know, survive and regenerate. If there is a loss and it's not that extreme and the area of loss isn't too large, then over time the nerve can grow back and potentially you will see some individuals who had lost it and then feel that it comes back.
What kind of virus are we talking about? Are we talking about like a common cold virus?
Correct. There are coronaviruses, rhinoviruses, things people have never heard of, but that's what they're sick with almost always when they feel sick.
Is there any way to have a virus and not know that you have this virus that's attacking you and suddenly lose your smell?
Sure. Some people would not have any other symptoms, or again, for some people, they might pass it off as a mild allergy or something not really thinking that much of. But you can have viruses that will affect even important parts of your body, your heart, in major organs that just suddenly does that for no apparent reason. So the smell happens. We see it happen in the ear.
And this is a situation where you need to get to a doctor. Advil's not going to cut it for anti-inflammatory.
No,
on these
this
levels.
Is like if you're going to get response, typically time from the onset of treatment, from the time that it happened, is the most important factor.
So get in there. Get
correct.
A, get a
and hopefully it's just an acute inflammatory event, an acute virus that has caused swelling in the nose, an acute allergy that has caused swelling. That's why the smell particles cannot get up there. And an anti-inflammatory, the nasal steroid sprays, will open you up, return the sense of smell.
So I know a man who, after a really bad tragedy, he lost his sense of smell, and he was in the wine business. So for him, it was even more devastating. How can something like that happen, just a bad tragedy or a catastrophic event? How can that impact somebody's sense of smell?
So if he truly did not have anything else going on, then as I said, the senses are very much integrated into our limbic or emotional system. And a severe emotional trauma can cause – it can cause symptoms that you wouldn't believe if you actually saw them, which is one of the things that triggers you as a physician that maybe that's what's going on. It doesn't make sense. So any kind of severe emotional trauma can have a severe impact on any one of your senses. We see it a lot in smell, sometimes in the ear mainly, which is also why, as you kind of reported, you might have noticed it eventually came back, versus if you had suffered a complete loss of nerve, your chance of it coming back at a later date, less likely. And the psychological impact of these things can never be understated, where they can become their own vicious cycle. If you have a problem psychologically, it becomes its own stress, and then in ways that are difficult to explain, psychologically impacts the problem. And so if you have a person, you can't pin it to something infectious. You can't pin it to allergy. They don't improve. Considering the underlying psychological situation with the person, trying anti-anxiety or antidepressant therapy will sometimes improve these sensory problems.
Well, and there have been studies done in the last year or two that are kind of linking inflammation but inflammation in the brain with mental issues,
yes, very much
psychological
so.
Issues.
So
we have another call coming in. This is Karen calling in from Naples. Karen, what would you like to say?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I've always had a high sensitivity to smells. Particularly now that I'm a year out from chemo. So I'm a breast cancer survivor. And the thing that I'm probably that is most offensive are the spray sunscreens. And so I wondered if anybody else is highly sensitive to that, and to the extent that if I'm on the beach or at the pool and somebody's spraying, I just go running away. But anyway, I guess the question is with regard to post-chemo higher sensitivity. And thanks again for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much, Karen. And we'll get the answer offline and on the radio. Is there an increased sensitivity with chemo? And do you see a lot of impacts of chemo on people?
Yes. Chemo is notorious for having lots of effects on nerves, some central, some peripheral. So having even neuropathy, things like that after chemo, depending on the drug, not so uncommon. And so not totally surprising to hear this as a complaint and a problem following chemo.
And it also affects the sense of taste too, from what I understand.
Yes, correct.
So there's a lot of senses.
Yes,
there.
Not to mention that your chemo is going to go after your very highly replicating cells, your very active, highly metabolic cells, which would include any of your sensory cells.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you about asthma, too, which, you know, is kind of always linked with allergies. But how do scents and these chemical sensitivities impact people with asthma?
It has a huge effect on people with asthma, people with COPD, or any chronic lung issues. It needs to be taken times like this very seriously. All of my patients know you do not mess around with any of the symptoms at times like this because it can get over the top on them. Asthma can be a deadly disease and somebody who it's been a minor nuisance for a long time. So these are individuals who are already hypersensitive, whose lungs are hypersensitive to different stimuli. For reasons that are beyond the individual's control, the lungs will act up. And any kind of irritant, chemical, allergy, just the smoke itself, the pollen as just a particulate matter can inflame their lungs, start off the release of these chemical mediators that then leads to very serious lung symptoms.
Could someone almost purposefully commit an assault with perfume on someone who is susceptible like this with asthma? Like really overspraying it really close to a person with asthma?
Sure. Sure.
And that could be like if it's intentional, that's pretty.
Yeah, you'd have to know the person is going to react that severely, but absolutely.
Yeah, if you knew
an allergen or a dust or a certain chemical somebody's sensitive, no different than slipping a peanut in somebody you know would cause an anaphylactic reaction.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a serious business issue, too, when workplace odors aren't controlled because I found a case in 2005 where a country music radio DJ was awarded $10.6 million by a jury under the American with Disabilities Act. And her radio station employer – she said that her radio station employer failed to accommodate her allergy to a fellow DJ's perfume. Can an allergy really be that bad where it causes it to be difficult to do your job?
Again, it would most likely not be a true allergy, although it could be. It's probably just an extreme sensitivity. The problem, again, probably not so much the chemical itself as it is whatever neurologic process is going on in the person who's having the problem. There is some hypercortical stimulation in that individual's, which is what's setting them off.
Yeah, and then you get into the whole legal discussion.
It seems like one of those cases that would be impossible to prove, but you never know.
Then you have the legal discussion of one guy's right to smell like a rose and the other person's right to not have to smell that and be impacted by
Correct.
It.
But I did work in a hospital office once, an undergraduate, where an individual in the office was so sensitive to soaps, detergents, and perfumes, and the skin would erupt, which you wouldn't believe if you hadn't seen it, and create an interesting work dynamic of – number one, he couldn't really use any kind of deodorant soaps or anything like that. So there was a slight hygiene issue, admittedly.
That would get kind of ripe after a while.
And from his standpoint, he was potentially aggravated by everybody else and just the use of normal everyday detergents, not to mention in a hospital lab you have the alcohol wipes and sanitizers and things like that. And so that did play out as a rather interesting
– That would be a tough workplace to choose, you know? I mean, but it's just hard to get away from scents anymore.
Correct.
They're just all over the place.
Correct.
So and that leads me to the question, has allergic sensitivity and chemical sensitivity evolved or gotten worse, or has our exposure to these things become more?
So that's a great question. That's probably a show on its own, right?
It's like a chicken and egg, right?
It is. No. So there's a lot of interesting hypotheses on why allergy is worsening the most and sensitivities like this. The most interesting being what's known as the hygiene hypothesis, that in developed countries we have become too clean. In doing so, we have left our immune system with less to worry about, less to target, and it's gotten bored and cells that should be out there targeting tumor cells and other more important things have been shunted down these inflammatory pathways and they're out there, and that's why now they're reacting to a birch pollen or oak pollen that gets into your bloodstream, where it should be looking for more serious things, parasites, bacteria.
Or cancerous cells.
Or cancerous cells. And we just don't have that as much or as much even in the third world. And we believe that's one of the leading hypotheses. Tough to prove, but interesting.
So our immune system has kind of gotten – this theory would say that Correct. The immune system has kind of gotten soft.
Yes. And so one of the warnings is be careful – and it's difficult because I realize the flu concerns, but be careful how much you're using these alcoholic hand wipes. And you're eradicating too much of your normal flora. This is where it gets extremely complex with regards to this. But as we diminish that, we're potentially causing changes in our bodies in other ways, which is making us then more sensitive. And no question, just in general, everything seems to have some sort of odor, or chemical in it. And it's overwhelming after a while. And again, people who know they're bothered by the stores, perfume stores, because again, you're going in there. It's not a store that sells just Chanel No. 5. There's hundreds of perfumes and they're all emitting an odor out there at the same time. I find it almost impossible to shop because how do you know what you're smelling?
And the ingredients in these things are getting less and less natural.
less and less natural over time, although maybe that's shifting back a little bit with some products, fortunately. Yeah. The other thing is you don't know what's in them. These are trademarked, patented products. You can't find out what's in them. And so that's why also tough to know, is it truly allergy or just a sensitivity?
Yeah, because you're not ingesting it. There's not an ingredient list. And it's not
Correct.
Required to have that.
Correct.
And you mentioned flora a second ago, and I'm going to go down a pathway here. I've always wondered, when you said earlier, when you smell, you are inhaling like little tiny microscopic bits. So even stinky stuff?
Yes, even like, stinky stuff.
Like your coworker at the from way back with the
– Correct.
Are you getting like some of this guy's bacterial stink happening?
The stink, yes. The bacteria, no.
So what is that then?
So bacteria will emit chemicals and odors. Some of them you can diagnose the bacteria simply alone on the odor and no different. The chemical is released, comes out in a little vesicle, which you pick up and smell.
So like when you walk into a house that's been overrun by cats and you get that big sulfur odor, are you getting that sulfur?
Yes,
that
right. So and cats, ammonia in the urine.
Yeah, the ammonia. That's what it is. Yeah,
correct. It's very strong. And so, but if in a more ethnic household, I might have curry. You know, which they cook frequently.
Yeah.
You can just tell walking in typically, and that's the particles will now start to stick around. They will start to land in places where if you sit on the couch, particles will get again thrown up into the air.
And they get on your clothes.
And dispersed
stuff.
Again.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
That's just –
And it is – I mean, you're talking again things that you would have to look at under a electron microscope type thing to
which is so funny.
See.
Like when you said, if you could look at the air and see it through a microscope, you just wouldn't want to breathe.
Correct.
You'd be wearing
outside.
A mask.
Right.
Well, after this conversation, I'm going to be investing in some face
Correct.
Masks.
But this is no different. Anybody who's traveled, let's say, to China, Beijing, Shanghai, and you've been there for a week or two and you come home with your raging sore throat, feeling terrible, and you tell yourself this is from travel. No, this is from smog.
Smog, yeah.
And so that's why you'll see people there walking constantly around with masks.
Yeah.
And stuff. This is what the air can, in fact, do to you.
Wow. It's pretty interesting. Well, I'm really glad that you came in and talked with us today, Dr. Reedy. I really appreciate your insight and input, and it's interesting to learn about how these wildfires are kind of actually even having an
it's
impact.
It's been very
too.
Difficult, very difficult for people.
Yeah, I bet you've had a busy year.
It has been, yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made the time to come in and talk with us.
Thank
Thanks
you very
so
much. Appreciate it.
Coming up, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, what about a free comic book? Tomorrow is Free Comic Book Day, and we're talking with the local comic shop owner and a kids literacy advocate about how comics are just one way to get parents and kids together to learn to read. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Please stay with us.